Раздел 1. Аудирование. Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит 2 раза. После 1 и 2 прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела аудирования перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего AF и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только 1 раз. В задании есть 1 лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись 2. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием. Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
I come from a family where having pets has always been natural. We live on a farm, so of course we have cats and dogs. From time to time we rescue baby birds that fall out of their nests, and some of them never want to leave. All the children in our family learn to ride on ponies before they transfer to horses. I guess those ponies and horses could also be called pets. I'm not even talking about all the frogs and bugs and worms that kids adopt to be their pets. Our home is practically a zoo.
Speaker B.
I've always wanted to have a pet, preferably a dog, although a cat, a turtle, or a bunny would also do. I wouldn't mind a bird either. But everyone in my family is allergic to animals. This is so sad. The closest to a pet I've ever had were sea monkeys. I bet you've never even heard of them. They are tiny sea animals, a kind of shrimp that you can hardly see, that were created by scientists for some space project. When I grow up and live on my own, nobody will stop me from having pets.
Speaker C.
I'm convinced that having pets is a must when you have children. I cannot even imagine myself in my childhood without a dog for a friend. I can also see how good it is for my children. Having pets teaches them love and friendship and responsibility. No matter how tired you are, you have to wake up early and walk your dog. You have to give them food and water, even if you are not hungry yourself. It's the best school of life skills one could ever imagine.
Speaker D.
Having pets is great, I guess. There's always someone to talk to, someone to hug. But it is so inconvenient. You always need to keep in mind their needs, special food to buy, be home in time to walk your dog, wake up early in the morning, taking them to the vet. But the worst thing is vacation time. What do you do with your pet when you travel? It's hard to find friends that would temporarily adopt your pet, and putting a pet in a special pet hotel is too stressful for the animal.
Speaker E.
Okay, call me lame, call me antisocial, call me a freak if you like, but I don't have any human friends. The only friend that I have is my dog, Toby. I don't know why I'm not popular at school. Maybe because I'm so big and fat. Maybe because I don't like team games. Maybe because I like classical music. I've never been able to make any friends except for Toby. Toby never lets me down. He doesn't care what I look like, and he enjoys the same things as I do. He's always around for me. So there.
Speaker F.
I think before you get a pet, you have to think how happy you can make the animal. I truly believe that for some animals, Being a pet is not much better than living in a prison. I don't understand why people would buy a huge dog if they live in a tiny apartment in a big city, especially if they work from morning till night. The poor animals are bored the whole day and don't get enough exercise. Shouldn't life quality matter to them as well?
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
I come from a family where having pets has always been natural. We live on a farm, so of course we have cats and dogs. From time to time we rescue baby birds that fall out of their nests, and some of them never want to leave. All the children in our family learn to ride on ponies before they transfer to horses. I guess those ponies and horses could also be called pets. I'm not even talking about all the frogs and bugs and worms that kids adopt to be their pets. Our home is practically a zoo.
Speaker B.
I've always wanted to have a pet, preferably a dog, although a cat, a turtle, or a bunny would also do. I wouldn't mind a bird either. But everyone in my family is allergic to animals. This is so sad. The closest to a pet I've ever had were sea monkeys. I bet you've never even heard of them. They are tiny sea animals, a kind of shrimp that you can hardly see, that were created by scientists for some space project. When I grow up and live on my own, nobody will stop me from having pets.
Speaker C.
I'm convinced that having pets is a must when you have children. I cannot even imagine myself in my childhood without a dog for a friend. I can also see how good it is for my children. Having pets teaches them love and friendship and responsibility. No matter how tired you are, you have to wake up early and walk your dog. You have to give them food and water, even if you are not hungry yourself. It's the best school of life skills one could ever imagine.
Speaker D.
Having pets is great, I guess. There's always someone to talk to, someone to hug, but it is so inconvenient. You always need to keep in mind their needs, special food to buy, be home in time to walk your dog, wake up early in the morning, taking them to the vet. But the worst thing is vacation time. What do you do with your pet when you travel? It's hard to find friends that would temporarily adopt your pet, and putting a pet in a special pet hotel is too stressful for the animal.
Speaker E.
Okay, call me lame, call me antisocial, call me a freak if you like, but I don't have any human friends. The only friend that I have is my dog, Toby. I don't know why I'm not popular at school. Maybe because I'm so big and fat. Maybe because I don't like team games. Maybe because I like classical music. I've never been able to make any friends except for Toby. Toby never lets me down. He doesn't care what I look like, and he enjoys the same things as I do. He's always around for me. So there.
Speaker F.
I think before you get a pet, you have to think how happy you can make the animal. I truly believe that for some animals, being a pet is not much better than living in a prison. I don't understand why people would buy a huge dog if they live in a tiny apartment in a big city, especially if they work from morning till night. The poor animals are bored the whole day and don't get enough exercise. Shouldn't life quality matter to them as well?
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, Какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста? 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием. Now we're ready to start.
Excuse me?
Yes?
Do you know how to get to Andrew's residence hall?
Ah, you're a freshman.
How did you guess?
Only freshmen live in Andrew's hall. That was my dorm last year, and I'm on my way there right now. You can walk with me if you like. It'll take some time.
Really? How long?
About 7 minutes. Can I help you with your bags, by the way? They look heavy.
Thank you. I didn't realize it was so far away from all the other buildings on campus.
Yeah, it does have a bad reputation of being far and isolated. But honestly, this is its only drawback. It's the best dorm ever. I wish I could stay there all the 4 years.
Well, that makes me feel a little better. What's so good about it?
Everything. First of all, food. Glorious food. Many students who even live across campus will make the trek to Andrew's cafeteria for its pizza. This is exactly what I'm doing now. And on weekends, you will see the brunch lines spanning out the door. The breakfast burritos are just incredible, and their yogurt bar is out of this world.
Sounds like I'll have to make the trek across campus just to avoid the lines.
Hey, don't be so negative. You will have an advantage. If you live in Andrews, you do not have to step outside to get to the dining hall, so all these lines are not for you.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. What are the other advantages?
More spacious rooms, higher ceilings, 2 really big walk-in closets in each room, and, oh, the best thing ever is that there is a sink inside the room. You don't have to go to the common bathrooms to brush your teeth or get some water.
Common bathrooms. Ugh. I guess I'll have to get used to that.
You will. Another really cool advantage is Andrew's study.
What's that?
A perfect place to study, write a paper, or do a long reading. And it also has a printer. If you need silence to work, that's the place to go. Although,
What?
Whatever is cooking in Andrew's dining hall, its smell wafts up to Andrew's study. It can be quite distracting if you are hungry.
That won't be a problem. Sounds like I've been very lucky to get into Andrew's Hall. No more complaints for me.
Good. I'm Don, by the way. I'm majoring in chemistry.
Nice to meet you. I'm Nikki, short for Nicolette.
Nice to meet you, too. Have you decided on your major yet?
No, I'm undecided. But I'm leaning towards computer science.
Cool. It's good that you only have to declare your major the second year, isn't it? Well, here we are. Andrew's Hall.
Wow. It's beautiful. Thank you for helping me.
Anytime. I'll see you around, Nikki.
Bye.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again. Now we're ready to start.
Excuse me?
Yes?
Do you know how to get to Andrew's residence hall?
Ah, you're a freshman.
How did you guess?
Only freshmen live in Andrew's hall. That was my dorm last year, and I'm on my way there right now. You can walk with me if you like. It'll take some time.
Really? How long?
About 7 minutes. Can I help you with your bags, by the way? They look heavy.
Thank you. I didn't realize it was so far away from all the other buildings on campus.
Yeah, it does have a bad reputation of being far and isolated. But honestly, this is its only drawback. It's the best dorm ever. I wish I could stay there all the 4 years.
Well, that makes me feel a little better. What's so good about it?
Everything. First of all, food. Glorious food. Many students, who even live across campus, will make the trek to Andrew's cafeteria for its pizza. This is exactly what I'm doing now. And on weekends, you will see the brunch lines spanning out the door. The breakfast burritos are just incredible, and their yogurt bar is out of this world.
Sounds like I'll have to make the trek across campus just to avoid the lines.
Hey, don't be so negative. You will have an advantage. If you live in Andrews, you do not have to step outside to get to the dining hall, so all these lines are not for you.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. What are the other advantages?
More spacious rooms, higher ceilings, 2 really big walk-in closets in each room, and, oh, the best thing ever is that there is a sink inside the room. You don't have to go to the common bathrooms to brush your teeth or get some water.
Common bathrooms. Ugh. I guess I'll have to get used to that.
You will. Another really cool advantage is Andrew's study.
What's that?
A perfect place to study, write a paper, or do a long reading. And it also has a printer. If you need silence to work, that's the place to go. Although,
What?
Whatever is cooking in Andrew's dining hall, its smell wafts up to Andrew's study. It can be quite distracting if you are hungry.
That won't be a problem. Sounds like I've been very lucky to get into Andrew's hall. No more complaints for me.
Good. I'm Don, by the way. I'm majoring in chemistry.
Nice to meet you. I'm Nikki, short for Nicolette.
Nice to meet you, too. Have you decided on your major yet?
No, I'm undecided, but I'm leaning towards computer science.
Cool. It's good that you only have to declare your major the second year, isn't it? Well, here we are, Andrews Hall.
Wow, it's beautiful. Thank you for helping me.
Anytime. I'll see you around, Nikki.
Bye.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями. Now we are ready to start.
Hello and welcome back. Our guest today is Andrea Carrera, a music major at the Juilliard School of Music. In addition to being a professional pianist in training, Ms. Carrera is a well-known music blogger whose subscribers have reached the number of 3 million last summer. Good morning, Andrea. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Could you tell us how a blog about classical music can be so popular?
Well, I would say that was a very gradual achievement. I first started my blog when I got enough courage to apply to the Juilliard School.
Courage? I didn't know music was such a dangerous trade that it would require courage.
Oh, it can be. The world of musicians is very competitive from the time you start as a young child and then apply to college, begin your career as a graduate, you name it. And while you won't face any death threats or dangers of criminal kind, you will have to realize who you are competing against. People who devote their entire lives, their entire well-being and existence to the pursuit of music. These are people with a passion. People who would not be tempted by watching Netflix or playing a video game after a really hard day. They would not be hanging out with their friends over the weekend. Instead, they would put in those extra couple of hours of practice that they always need. And yes, it can be quite scary to realize that these are your rivals. It's easy to be intimidated.
Wow, that sounds like a different species. But sorry for having interrupted you. You were saying that you started your blog when you were applying for Juilliard.
That's right. There were so many questions that I had, so many worries and uncertainties, that I decided that no matter what the outcome, I would start a blog where I would document my whole application process, including auditions, to make it easier for others who apply to the best music school in America. And when I did get in, I continued describing all my experiences as a student.
So, this is how your audience grew?
Yes. After all, music students from all over the world are curious about Juilliard. It's like Harvard or Yale in the world of performing art. Just in a year, the number of my subscribers reached a stable 500,000 and stayed that way for quite a while.
And then what happened?
Then I had an idea to go to Moscow for the 16th Tchaikovsky competition.
As a participant?
No. I wish. You do have to be rather talented and hardworking and really lucky to get into Juilliard, but you have to be so much more to be selected to something like Tchaikovsky competition. Competitions of that level are like the World Cup or the Olympics to us. No, I decided to go as a blogger, and as a fan.
A fan?
Yes. Out of 25 pianists selected to participate, 6 were Juilliard alumni. I wanted to support them.
Really? I thought there were only 2 participants from the United States, and only one of them went to Juilliard.
That's true. The other 5 were from different countries. Canada, South Korea, Spain, and 2 from China. But they still went to Juilliard. In fact, the Juilliard School of Music and the Moscow Conservatory supplied 15 out of 25 participants, 6 and 9 respectively.
Fascinating. How did you like the competition?
I loved it. The legendary hall of the Moscow Conservatory, fantastic pianists, an impressive jury, but I especially liked the audience. They were so sincere in how they expressed their emotions. It was very touching. So I tried to write about it all in my blog. And I also conducted interviews with the participants and the jury members and videoed all that. And that's when my audience grew to 3 million subscribers. So you see?
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again. Now we're ready to start.
Hello and welcome back. Our guest today is Andrea Carrera, a music major at the Juilliard School of Music. In addition to being a professional pianist in training, Ms. Carrera is a well-known music blogger whose subscribers have reached the number of 3 million last summer. Good morning, Andrea. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Could you tell us how a blog about classical music can be so popular?
Well, I would say that was a very gradual achievement. I first started my blog when I got enough courage to apply to the Juilliard School.
Courage? I didn't know music was such a dangerous trade that it would require courage.
Oh, it can be. The world of musicians is very competitive from the time you start as a young child and then apply to college, begin your career as a graduate, you name it. And while you won't face any death threats or dangers of criminal kind, you will have to realize who you are competing against. People who devote their entire lives, their entire well-being and existence to the pursuit of music. These are people with a passion. People who would not be tempted by watching Netflix or playing a video game after a really hard day. They would not be hanging out with their friends over the weekend. Instead, they would put in those extra couple of hours of practice that they always need. And yes, it can be quite scary to realize that these are your rivals. It's easy to be intimidated.
Wow, that sounds like a different species. But sorry for having interrupted you. You were saying that you started your blog when you were applying for Juilliard.
That's right. There were so many questions that I had, so many worries and uncertainties, that I decided that no matter what the outcome, I would start a blog where I would document my whole application process, including auditions, to make it easier for others who apply to the best music school in America. And when I did get in, I continued describing all my experiences as a student.
So, this is how your audience grew?
Yes. After all, music students from all over the world are curious about Juilliard. It's like Harvard or Yale in the world of performing art. Just in a year, the number of my subscribers reached a stable 500,000 and stayed that way for quite a while.
And then what happened?
Then I had an idea to go to Moscow for the 16th Tchaikovsky competition.
As a participant?
No. I wish. You do have to be rather talented and hardworking and really lucky to get into Juilliard, but you have to be so much more to be selected to something like Tchaikovsky competition. Competitions of that level are like the World Cup or the Olympics to us. No, I decided to go as a blogger and as a fan.
A fan?
Yes. Out of 25 pianists selected to participate, 6 were Juilliard alumni. I wanted to support them.
Really? I thought there were only 2 participants from the United States, and only one of them went to Juilliard.
That's true. The other 5 were from different countries. Canada, South Korea, Spain, and 2 from China. But they still went to Juilliard. In fact, the Juilliard School of Music and the Moscow Conservatory supplied 15 out of 25 participants, 6 and 9 respectively.
Fascinating. How did you like the competition?
I loved it. The legendary hall of the Moscow Conservatory, fantastic pianists, an impressive jury, but I especially liked the audience. They were so sincere in how they expressed their emotions. It was very touching. So I tried to write about it all in my blog. And I also conducted interviews with the participants and the jury members and videoed all that. And that's when my audience grew to 3 million subscribers. So you see?
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test. Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.